But would you turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11 this morning? There are so many things that I would like to say, so many comparisons and parallels that I would like to draw between the tomb of the unknown soldier and our Savior and what He's done for us and how we ought to be soldiers. I'd like to start with the first one, and that is simply respect. Did you see how they respected those men who had died and were buried there? They don't even know who they were, but they respected them. Let me encourage you to consider how you respect your Savior. Let me get you to consider how you respect the one who died for you and was buried for you. There's so many parallels. I'm going to jump right into this message because I know I don't have a lot of time because we had a lot of special things this service. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 32, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment." The first half of what we read, we had names. Gideon, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel. From here on out, we don't know who we're talking about. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. Verse 37, "They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth." I'll stop there for a moment. Most of the heroes listed didn't wear the uniform of a soldier. Most of the heroes mentioned were men and women who fought the good fight of faith as they lived their lives to please Jesus Christ. Hundreds of thousands of them are unknown by name to us, but not to God. In fact, their names are very important to God, just like yours is. The tomb of the unknown soldier has the inscription, "Here rests in honored glory an American soldier known but to God." And this morning I want to call your attention to hundreds and thousands of men and women who have gone before us. We don't know their names, and they are known but to God. But what I want you to understand this morning is that while we don't know their names, God does. And what I hope you get this morning from this message is, just like these people in the past, these who had cruel trial of mockings and scourgings and bonds and imprisonment, these who were stoned, were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword, the ones who wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, these ones of whom the world was not worthy, they trusted the same Jesus Christ as you trust. They placed their faith on the same God, the same Lord as you do, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And what I hope you understand by the time this is done this morning, just like God knows who they are, and just like God has a very special plan for them, God knows who you are, and God has a special plan for you, and God wants you to serve Him as a soldier. Can you find Revelation chapter 2 this morning? Revelation chapter 2, you've got in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, you've got a letter written by Jesus Christ Himself to seven different churches in Asia. I'm going to read the last couple of verses from three of those letters. He wrote a letter to the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. Verse number 17, you see the ending of that letter. So find Revelation chapter 2, verse number 17. Look what Jesus says. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, to him that overcometh." I believe that word overcome, he doesn't mention that they are soldiers, but when you're talking about overcoming, you get the idea of fighting a battle. "To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna. And listen to this. And will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth saving he that receiveth it. Listen to this. Not only does God know your name, but he has a new name chosen for you. The white stone represents the approval by a judge. As I understand, a judge would have two stones available, and he would either show the white stone or he'd show the black stone. The black stone if you're guilty, the white stone if you are not guilty. And Jesus says to the Christians here, he says, listen, you overcome, I will give you a white stone, and in that stone, a new name. I want you to understand something. You are special to Jesus Christ. You're a soldier of Jesus Christ. And God has called you to something big. And he says to them that overcome, I will give this white stone. And a white stone will have the name that he has chosen for you. This means a lot. This means you're not anonymous. This means you're not an unknown soldier in the army of Jesus Christ. It means he knows exactly where you are, exactly what you're going through. And one day when you stand before him, he's got a name chosen for you. Do you have a nickname? Okay, I won't ask you to tell me what that is right now. I might embarrass you. You know, some people know you. Family may know you by a different name than everybody else knows you. One day when you stand before Jesus Christ, I can't explain it exactly, but one day when you stand before Jesus Christ, he's going to give you that new name. The name that he knows already. Look at chapter 3, verse number 5. Chapter 3, verse number 5. Here's what I want you to understand this morning. There are no unknown soldiers in God's army. I hope to challenge you this morning. I hope to inspire you this morning to serve. When I see soldiers like that, when I see soldiers who are fighting to defend the freedom of our country, that inspires me. And I thank God for those men and women who do exactly that. It inspires me to honor them, to respect them. It inspires me to do like they do. How about as a soldier of Jesus Christ? When I read through others had cruel trial of cruel mockings and scourging of bonds and imprisonment, you know what that does? It inspires me to want to live for my Savior. If those people who've gone before, if they were willing to stand and they were willing to serve God through trials, it inspires me to want to serve God. They were stoned, sawn asunder, tempted, slain with the sword. Now listen, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't want any of those to happen, but I see them standing and I see them suffering, and it inspires me to want to serve God like they served God and to be faithful. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible says this. This is Jesus talking. Chapter 3 is a church in Sardis. He writes this to these Christians who are in that church. The Bible says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father, before his angels. Not only does Jesus know your name, but he will confess your name before God in heaven. I don't know all the exact details of what's going to happen at this point in heaven. I can only imagine, just like you can imagine. I can guess, just like you can guess. But here's the point. In two different letters, talking to two different churches, Jesus makes a big deal about their name. You're not just a number with God. You're not just a random person with God. He knows your name and he loves you. Look at chapter 3, verse number 12. Chapter 3, verse number 12, written to the church in Philadelphia. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him, listen to this, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And, wow, look at this, and I will write upon him my new name. I don't know if that's an identification. I don't understand all of it. But not only does Jesus know your name, but he plans to inscribe upon you the name of God, the name of the city of God, and his new name. If you get nothing else out of this, he knows you personally. And he loves you personally. He's not just the man upstairs. Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid the price for your sins. He rose again, and he loves you. And he knows your name. And he's got plans for you that have to do with your name and his name that I can't even explain very well. But he knows your name. There are no unknown soldiers in God's army. I've got just a couple points, and they're not long, but I want you to understand this one too. This is incredibly important. As a soldier of the cross, you have been commissioned to guard the truth. We don't need to guard the tomb of our Savior. There's nobody in the tomb of our Savior, well, unless they reused it and we think they have a different one. We don't know. But we know this. The one who died, was buried, and rose 3 days later, that is our Savior. He's not there anymore. We don't need to guard that tomb. He died on the cross. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He rose again 3 days later, and Jesus doesn't need anybody to guard his tomb. He's not there. He's sitting on the right hand of the throne of God. The Bible says, did you know that one of the tombs that the sentinels guard that you saw is actually an empty tomb? The Vietnam unknown soldier was transported aboard the USS Bruton to Alameda Naval Base in California. The remains were sent to Travis Air Force Base in California, May 24th. The Vietnam soldier arrived at Andrews Air Force Base, Maryland the next day. Many Vietnam veterans and President and Mrs. Ronald Reagan visited the Vietnam unknown soldier in the U.S. Capitol. An Army caisson carried the Vietnam unknown soldier from the Capitol to the Memorial Amphitheater in Arlington National Cemetery on Memorial Day, May 28, 1984. President Ronald Reagan presided over that funeral, and he presented the Medal of Honor to the Vietnam unknown soldier. So there was an unknown soldier from World War I already buried there. There's an unknown soldier from World War II already buried there. There's an unknown soldier from the Korean War already buried there, and now a Vietnam unknown soldier was brought to the tomb. Since they didn't know who the next of kin was of the soldier, President Reagan acted as the next of kin, and he accepted the folded flag at the end of the ceremony. Well, years later, the remains of the Vietnam unknown soldier were actually identified because now we have DNA testing. He was identified as Air Force First Lieutenant Michael Joseph Blassie, who was shot down in Vietnam in 1972. His remains were removed from the tomb and given to his family, and it has been decided that the crypt that contained the remains of the Vietnam soldier, the Vietnam unknown soldier, will remain vacant. That is so cool. Now, some people might think, why do we make such a big deal about guarding a tomb? Especially one that's empty. Why the effort? Why the extreme level of respect? What's the big deal? I want you to understand something. The sentinels are not only guarding the remains of soldiers that died in battles around the world. They're guarding everything that those soldiers lived and died for. They're guarding the values that those soldiers gave their lives to uphold. And I think it's just an amazingly wonderful thing that our country respects those men and women. I believe they're all men because at that time it was all men fighting in those armed services. Our country respects those men so much. Now the tomb of Jesus Christ doesn't need guarding. The tomb of Jesus Christ is empty. But we need soldiers who will step up and guard the truth that he died for. The truth of the gospel is under attack. There are those who want to remove God from our mind. They don't want us thinking about God, praying to God, or talking about God. There are those who want to remove the Word of God from our lives. They've tried to destroy it, but they failed. They've tried to keep the Word of God from being translated into common languages that people speak, but they failed. In fact, they burned the translators in public executions. You may have heard of William Tyndale. You may have heard of John Wycliffe. These men hated so much. I believe it was John Wycliffe. They actually dug up his bones after he died and burned them because he was partly responsible for translating the Bible into the common language of the people. And now, since they couldn't destroy the Bible, they're filling bookshelves with hundreds of false versions to keep people from having the perfect Word of God. You need to understand something. You're a soldier today. You're a soldier in the army of the Lord. God has chosen you to be a soldier. And it's not too big of a deal. Now, we're not guarding a tomb, but we're guarding some truths. There are those who want to remove Christians from society. I know you say, Pastor, that's crazy. That's far-fetched. The powerful push from the political left in our country towards socialism might just be more than a political effort. Socialism often leads to communism. Communist countries are usually not friendly towards Christians. Just look at China. China is destroying Christian churches and putting their members in prison. North Korea continues to hold Christians in concentration camps. To study what happens to Christians or what happened to Christians during the last century when countries were taken over by communism. And you'll see the direction that that goes. What I want you to understand, Christianity is under attack and we need some people, some soldiers of the cross to stand and guard the truths of the gospel. There are no unknown soldiers to God. As a soldier of the cross, you've been commissioned to guard the truth, and we're done. I've just got a little bit more, and here's the last point. Jesus Christ, our chief captain, paid the ultimate sacrifice by dying on the cross to pay the price for every sin you've ever committed and every sin you ever will commit. Those are just three lessons from the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. There's so many more. Memorial Day is a wonderful time to remember our fallen heroes, but it's also a great time to remember the greatest sacrifice that was ever made. I read this to you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that is exactly what Jesus Christ did for you. I know I'm mostly talking to saved people this morning. And what I would like to do, I would just like to challenge you, inspire you to be a soldier of the cross. A soldier of Jesus Christ. He knows your name. He knows everything about you. He's got plans for you. You are not an unknown to God. He's got plans for you. And we need you. We need Christians who will not only say, I'm a Christian, but Christians who will stand and guard the truth. Oh, if we had Christians, they would put as much effort into guarding the truth that have been given to us by Jesus Christ. If we could put as much effort into that as those sentinels we saw put into guarding the tomb of the unknown soldier, could you imagine what would happen? If we put as much effort into sharing the gospel, did you realize the average sentinel that we saw takes 8 hours just preparing their uniform to wear for the day? And we treat Christianity just so casually. Listen, this is big. What God called you to do is big. And I don't remember exactly where this is referenced, and I forgot to write it down. But God said, I believe it was in Timothy, that we may please Him who hath called us to be a soldier. And I know I didn't quote that exactly right, but that's my goal. Oh, I want to please God. He called you to be a soldier, and I want to challenge you. Would you strive to please Him? Would you strive to live your life for God? Father, I pray that You would use this message. Lord, we tried to do several things this morning. We wanted to honor our nation's fallen. We wanted to magnify Jesus Christ. And Lord, we wanted to inspire Christians to serve You. I pray that You would do that. Lord, I pray that You'd work in our hearts this morning. I pray that You'd give us a desire to live for You. I pray that You'd help us to live in a way that respects You and that guards the truth that You have given us.